This morning, can I thank the church for the invitation to come and to share on this, your missionary weekend. We appreciate very much all of the friendship and the support of the church and the members for the work of Every Home Crusade Revival Movement Association. We value all of your interests, we value your prayers, and we thank you for your support. I want this morning to take you and just to see a little bit of the factory, first of all, before we look at the work in other countries. First of all, we have the different printing machines. This particular machine is the machine that actually operates, prints those big rolls of paper that I was talking about a couple of moments ago. That machine will be running at a speed of about 180 meters of paper in 1 minute. This past year, we used in the factory a total of 1,257 tons of paper. Now, that's a little bit less than normal because the factory was closed due to the COVID first lockdown. So we were closed for 10 weeks, but after that, at the beginning of June, we got up and running again and brought in all the different restrictions, but at the same time, the literature is being produced. So that's a volume of material that we printed the past year. We're printing in 95 different languages. The machine in the background is what we call a five-color Heidelberg press. This particular machine gives a lot of versatility as far as what we can print, different sizes of paper, different thicknesses of paper, different qualities. So gives us a lot of variation. In the foreground, you will see a lot of the CEF flashcard Bible lessons that have been printed. They're printed in big, large sheets, then cut down, and so on. Now, whenever we print the sheets, they're then made into booklets. So we have two of these Müller saddle stitcher machines, feed the pages onto the machine, and then they're stapled and trimmed. Altogether, this past year, we produced something in the region of 5 million Gospels of John. And as I say, we have two of these machines. Sometimes we can be printing in the region of 60,000 booklets in a day off one of these machines. So there's a lot of work going on there. Then we have the folding machines. Now, we have a whole range of different folding machines. This particular one takes that big roll of paper, unwinds that roll of paper, and as it unwinds, it is cut into individual sheets. Those individual sheets then go into a folding unit. They are folded, and after they are folded, they are trimmed, and after they are trimmed, then they are counted and put into bundles. Now, those bundles then come out banded and ready to be put into the boxes. We also produce the tracts and fold them from this particular machine as well. So there's a lot of material goes through this folding machine. Whenever we are producing tracts, the tracts are coming off at a speed of nearly 100,000 tracts an hour coming through the machine. Now, on top of that, then we have, I spoke about the children's CF flashcard lessons. These all have to be spiral bound. So they come to this machine. Each particular book has to be bound individually with the wire spiral bind. Now, we have a team of volunteers who come in different days of the week and all operate this particular machine. In the picture, you have Jim Gilliland, Alan Given, and we have a whole group of these volunteers that work at producing the CF flashcard Bible lessons. I think this past year, we produced something in the line of 300,000 flashcard Bible lessons. This is our paper store. Now, every single working day, we are using, on average, 6 tons of paper. Now, that means we have 6 tons of paper into the print room and literally 6 tons of material coming out of the print room each day. So this there's just this constant flow of literature, rolls of paper, pallets of paper for the different machines. And then we're shipping the literature to different parts of the world. Now, sometimes we're posting little 5-kilo parcels, other times it's pallets, and then other times it's full 20-foot container loads of literature. For example, on Friday there, we filled a container that was going to Venezuela, all material in the Spanish language. This coming Tuesday, we hope to ship another container that will be going to Macau with Chinese literature. Then we have this big printing press. Now, this machine takes 3 rolls of paper all at the same time. The 3 lines of paper are going through the machine. They are printed all on each side. It can be all printed color. The 3 lines of paper come together, are then folded, and then cut into sections. And those finished sections then will go to the Müller saddle stitchers to be made into the books. We'll be having about 12,000 sections there coming off. On each of those sections, we have 2 booklets printed, so it gives a lot of material. And this has really improved and helped the amount of literature that we are shipping out. Now I want to take you to a few different places in the world. First of all, is South Sudan. We're working with an organization there called a Mailbox Club. Now, we've been printing there. They have these booklets that they print. These are for young people, but they've also got teachers' guides and so on for the teachers. We've been shipping these into South Sudan. They've had the tremendous opportunity of being invited by the South Sudanese government to put these booklets into all the schools of South Sudan. Now, the request literally is for 3 million booklets. Now, this is one of the letters actually from the government encouraging the work and the production of the booklets. So we've been shipping container loads of these booklets. Teachers are being trained in the schools how to use the Explorer's lessons. And we've just been sending a constant stream of containers, and we have a lot more literature to go to South Sudan. Each container that we ship holds roughly 200,000 booklets. So we have a container en route right at this moment in time going into South Sudan. We've also been able to send a little bit of literature for the work of CEF in South Sudan as well. So they have been getting some material. Mailbox Club have been getting their material in the English language. CEF actually have been getting Every Day with God booklets in the Arabic language for distribution there in South Sudan as well. We also have been working with Mailbox Club in many, many other countries, nearly all of the Latin American countries. So Nicaragua, this is just a Bible study going on with young people using the Explorer's booklets there in that country. But this is just illustrating the whole of South America as far as this material is going. After they complete the booklets, then they're given a certificate, and these children are all receiving their certificate. South Africa, we're working there with Every Home for Christ, who have been distributing a lot of Gospels of John in their ministry. They have a door-to-door ministry, but since the whole COVID thing has hit, they are been giving out bags of food, giving a Gospel of John alongside it, have been conducting Bible studies on Zoom and on WhatsApp and all the other different apps on the Gospel of John, and have been continuing the distribution of the Gospels. And they're finding a real thirst for the Word of God at this moment in time. They were writing recently that they were completely out of certain languages. We print in 6 different South African languages. They were asking for further supplies. So just this past month, we shipped them yet another container load of Gospels of John in a range of the South African languages. We have our own depot in Brazil for receiving the containers of literature in Lagos. We work very closely with ACTS, which is sort of part of Mission Africa. But we have our own depot there. The containers arrive there, unloaded, And many people from across Nigeria are in touch with that depot asking for supplies of tracts and booklets. And they're shared out, and that literature is moving out. They actually have a day of prayer for the work of revival movement and for the tract distribution. So they have a day of prayer for the men, and then they have another day of prayer for the ladies. And but the work in Nigeria is going at a tremendous rate. They're constantly asking for fresh supplies of literature to keep the many, many different requests that they are getting for the literature. We've been working closely with CEF in many different parts of the world. This here is in the Philippines. And even though COVID is affecting many different places, the work is carrying on. Here we have a Good News Club. And if you look very carefully, you'll see the teacher. She's wearing a visor. You'll see the children are all spaced out, and many of the children will be wearing masks. But they've got permission to give out the booklets to the boys and girls. And these booklets are invaluable in these settings. Way out in remote areas, still the literature is moving out, still being given out, and still being a blessing to boys and girls. And this is just one of the many countries. We've also been working closely with CEF in Romania. Some of you will know Clara Bain and some of the other folk working out there. And of course, this past year, they couldn't have camps. They couldn't have things as normal. So what did they do? Well, they said, look, we'll make up packs of literature and we'll go out. We'll go out to the villages. We'll go out to the remote areas. And there we will give out the packs of literature. It's amazing, you know, this year that they have given out something in the region of 600,000 pieces of literature in Romania. And many different little stories they've told as a result of that literature going out. They said that in one particular village that they were distributing the literature, they came across the Orthodox priest. And he was very annoyed at the whole idea that they were distributing Christian literature. And he gave off, and in the end, he actually phoned the police. And the police came, and the police said to the Orthodox priest, they said, there's nothing wrong with this. These people are free to give out this literature. You can't stop them just because you're the Orthodox priest. So that was very encouraging for them. They said in another village, they met a man, and they gave him a pack of the literature and explained what it was. The man said, you know something? I've been praying that God would speak to me, but I never guessed that he was going to send me an actual messenger. So that is just a little of what's going on out there in Romania. Now, the folk in the last week from Romania have been in touch with us again, and they're continuing their literature distribution, except this time they're asking us for over 1 million items of literature, a whole range of booklets and tracts and so on for distribution during 2021. This was just one little club that they had. They said, all these children come from non-Christian homes, and yet in all the cold and so on, they still come for their Good News Club. Zimbabwe in southern Africa. Now, there's a guy there, Pastor Walter, right away in the back of the picture, but he was actually over and visited the factory, and is also connected with the work of BES, Bible Educational Services. Now, we work very closely with these folk, so we supplied them with Gospels of John and with the BES booklets as well. And they have been taking these booklets out, going out to the villages, distributing them through the churches, going to some of the big farms where there's big groups of families living there. Little education, but taking time to have Bible studies with the boys and girls in these farms. They're also using the BES Bible studies booklets in Sunday schools, in churches, and so on. So they're making a real impact on the lives there. We've been working closely with BES in many different countries. Just last night, I got pictures of a container of BES booklets that had just arrived yesterday in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We worked very closely with Aminadab in Rwanda. the leader of Teens for Christ there, and they have been using the BES booklets. Now, they have transport problems within Rwanda for getting supplies of the booklets from one place to another. And they got all these students here, and they gave them a box each. Now, every one of those boxes will be in the region of about 20 kilos each. And they were taking these to seven different schools, something like 8,000 booklets to seven different schools, and some of those schools were actually miles away. And this is them all setting off, each carrying a box of literature. We sometimes think it's bad if we have to carry a box of the literature from one end of the factory to the other, but they were actually going miles carrying these boxes of books. But they are continuing to see young people coming and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. BES are in Rwanda. They would have had permission to go into the schools and have the entire school come together once a week for a Bible study. Now they say with the COVID and all the restrictions, they are allowed to teach in the classes. So they said the maximum they can teach is 50 at one time. But this is causing them a problem getting enough volunteers to do all the teaching in all of the schools that they're working with. To give you an idea, in January before COVID hit last year, they were reaching 30,000 children a week with BES booklets in Rwanda and teaching them week by week in the schools. Now, I didn't mention earlier on, but we also have the factory in Clara Street. And there we print books. So we have the Heidelberg Press printing the books. Keith Wilson is also there operating the folding machine. Does a tremendous amount of work because every one of these books, the pages are all printed in big sheets, 32 pages on a sheet, but those all need to be folded down before they're bound into books. So every book has a whole series, maybe 10, 12 sections to make up a book. Now, we've been printing some of these books. These are some of the Matu books that we printed earlier. They have gone to Burma or to Memoir. Memoir has been on the news in this past week. And these are books that have gone out there. Now, just at the moment, we have been producing more books for that part of the world in different languages. We did a batch there of 15,000 of one book and another batch of 18,000, and Keith has been busy getting all those folded ready for binding. Now, these books here in the Matu language have gone to one of the areas in Memoir. This here was a school teacher. These are all scriptures in the book, not an entire New Testament, but a whole selection of scriptures. And these particular people were, this particular teacher was using the book then to help and teach memory verses to the children. This was a pastor. He was very upset because some Bibles came in their language to their particular region, but he's in a remote corner. And he said he was very disappointed because all the Bibles were distributed before they even got as far as his length. But eventually these books came instead. And because they're all scripture, he's delighted. And now he has material to use and to work with his people. This was a little farmer who has a book. He was a little bit upset about this picture because he said, I don't know who actually came to take the picture, but... the problem was, he said, he has only got two shirts and he washed both of them at the same time. And then somebody came to take the picture. So he was a little bit upset about that. This man here, he was an alcoholic, drug addict, but got one of the books. And through that book has trusted the Lord to be his savior and has now joined the church and so on out there. So we have a lot more material to head out to that part of the world. This was just a mother teaching her children the Word of God from the book as well. So these are some of the people that have been using these books in the Matu language. Russia. Now, we've been shipping and working with Every Home for Christ in Russia. Initially, we have been printing leaflets for them. We've done quite a few million. The last shipment was 2 million of these leaflets. It's interesting, the leaflet is on the subject of prayer. And I thought that was a rather unusual subject for evangelism. But they said in Russia, it suits the minds of the people. Because people belong to the Russian Orthodox Church. They believe in prayer. But the problem is that they will have to go to church. They have to pay the priest to make a prayer for them. And instead, this leaflet is explaining how you can pray to God individually. But you know, at the same time, they also offer people, if they want, they can phone in. They can come with their requests, and they will pray for them on the phone, the Every Home for Christ leadership. But what they also do then is, after the people have shared their problem, a few days later, they will send them some scriptures. This is what the Word of God has got to say about your problem. And then a little bit later, followed up with more scriptures explaining the gospel message. Now, these booklets have been going out in Russia over the last consignment. Is almost finished, but that was only shipped about 6 months ago. Now they have come to us this year and they've asked, they said, can you now supply us with 4 million Gospels of John and another 2 million of the prayer leaflet? So this is a huge request. This is the leader here, Artem, with the last supply of leaflets. So just right at this moment in time, they're tying up all the legal paperwork. We have to have government permission to import the Gospels into Russia and the leaflets. So all that paperwork is being put together just at this moment in time. As soon as they give us the go-ahead, then we will start printing those Russian Gospels of John. One of the other requests was that the print should be a bit larger, as large as possible, for the very simple reason that many people have eyesight problems. So we're doing that as well for them. Now, just over a year ago was our 70th anniversary for Revival Movement Association. And you know, whenever Ernie Allen started off, he didn't keep too many facts and figures as to what was going on. So we can't go right back for 70 years, but we can go back to 1984. And in 1984, we used a total of 25 tons of paper in the production of gospel literature. And at that time, I remember being there, and I remember thinking, what a lot of paper, 25 ton of paper. But you know, in the last couple of years, we have been using 1,350-odd ton of paper every year. So it just shows the growth of the work over the years. Now, that means since 1984, we have used a total of 26,000 tons of paper, which is an incredible amount of paper to have used during that time. Now, these are some of the figures concerning what we have printed in the last 35 years. 1.5 million books have been printed. Those type of books that I was talking about, that Keith Foles and so on, all sorts of books, New Testaments, actually that container that we shipped the other day had 10,000 New Testaments in it. Then 2.8 million children's Bible lessons. So most of those would be CEF flashcard Bible lessons. Then we also printed 508 million scripture and gospel booklets. And then 1.02 billion tracts and leaflets were printed in the last 35 years. Now, one of the big important things that we see is the printing of the Word of God. And since 1984, we have printed 183 million Gospels of John in a whole range of different languages. You know, this morning, whenever you look at it, altogether we have printed 1.7 billion items of gospel literature. You know, what can we say this morning except that this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes? This morning, on behalf of the staff, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And we just ask you that you will continue to pray for us in the ministry. We pray. Ask you to pray that we will be able to keep that factory going. We're in full production at this moment in time. Just pray that we will be able to continue to carry on this ministry. So thank you again for the opportunity of sharing about Revival Movement Every Home Crusade this morning. I want now to turn to God's Word, and I want to read a few verses here, and I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we're going to start at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I want us this morning just to think about verse 2 there. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want us to think especially just of that little first phrase there, looking on to Jesus. You know, I want this morning, and it talks there about the cross, you know. Earlier on, we had the breaking of bread, and we were thinking about the cross. I want us this morning just again to consider the cross for a moment. You know, sometimes in our world today, we have the cross has almost become overfamiliar. We have people wear the cross as jewelry. We have men have tattoos with crosses. Crosses appear in all sorts of strange places. Nothing whatsoever to do with the gospel. And yet, this morning, you know, I want us to consider the real cross and the Christian message. So easy to get caught up with all the other things and forget the importance of the cross because of familiarity. You know, why is the cross necessary today? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to pay the price of going to the cross? Why was he a sacrifice on the cross? Well, it's very simple, because of our sin, because of our wrongdoing, because of our thoughts, because of our wrong actions, because of our disobedience. That is what drove the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. You know, we have Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of the Father, the wonder of it, the amazing thought that God sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. And as we think of that, we think of the pain and the suffering of the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go into all the details of the cross. But you know, as we think of the precious shed blood of Christ, we think of Peter. For as much as ye know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from their fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Friends, this morning, never ever let us overlook the importance of the cross, the price that was paid. Let us take time, week by week, day by day, and thank the Lord constantly for the cross, for the precious shed blood at Calvary. But you know, as we look at this verse again, you know, we see the Lord Jesus Christ here, and we see, yes, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, there was the resurrection. The resurrection was to follow the cross. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going on. You see, there in that verse, Mark chapter 8 and 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. I want you to note that little word in the middle, must suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to suffer. But at the same time, he knew that after 3 days, he would rise again. And he knew, yes, that he would be seated upon the right hand of God the Father. And you know what was going to happen whenever he was seated there? Yes, the very angels would be rising, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We read those verses in Revelation 5 and 12. And this morning, let us remember, this is the one whom we are worshiping this morning. This is the one who is making intercession for us. This is the one who is caring about us. This is the one who is looking after us day by day. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, our everlasting King. But friends, this morning, you're watching this. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you been to the cross? Have you bowed the knee? Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior? You know, we're looking at this verse, that little phrase, looking on to Jesus. And you know, in some respects, it depends where you are this morning, spiritually speaking, as to how you view the Lord Jesus Christ. As to how you view Jesus. This was very well illustrated to me back in the summertime. I have a group of friends living in different parts of the country. We only see each other as a group once in a while. But way back in the summertime, one of those nice summer evenings, we were having a chat on WhatsApp group. And somebody went outside and they took a picture of the sunset. And then each of us went out and we each took a picture of the sunset. And we each shared those, all taken within a couple of minutes of each other. And it was most interesting. We had one nice shot, and there was water in the scene. Beautiful shot of the sun setting. There was another one from the top of a hill. Beautiful, deep red sky. Lovely picture. We had other people. They didn't really have much of a, from where they were living. They were surrounded by other houses. They didn't, but they literally got a blue sky with maybe a little shade of pink. And there was different angles all taken. But you know, the pictures were all taken of one sun and one sky, but all from different angles. And I want you just to think about that for a moment. Because as believers, we are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ differently than what the world is looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is saved, the one who knows peace, the one who knows their sins forgiven looks upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a different way than those who do not know him. Those who know that they have got eternal life, that they have the hope of the resurrection, a sure and steadfast hope. But you know, in these days, it's so easy to get distracted, so easy to lift our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because we've got the cares of the world are surrounding us. We have got our work surrounds us. We have got our businesses and so on. And so often we get distracted. Sometimes it's even just our belongings. All the things that we have gathered up over the years, our belongings, and they can distract us from the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take our eyes off Christ. You think of Peter. Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ was on the water, walking towards the boat. And Peter got out of the boat and started to walk towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the moment he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? He seen the storm all around him. He seen the big waves. And he started to sink. You know, friends, this morning, whenever we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we're living today in a world of confusion, a world of fear, a world that rejects the gospel, a world of sin. You know, I had somebody wrote to us there very recently. A lady wrote to us an email. Somebody had given her the tract, The Forgiveness of Sins. And she wrote in a very indignant way, very annoyed. And what she wrote was this. She says, you know, she says, I can sin whenever I want to sin. I can sin as much as I want to sin. And I don't need forgiveness. Friends, that's the world we are living in today. That is the world that we are living in. A world of sin. And this is why it is so important that we keep our focus and we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever we lift our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, the thinking of the world creeps in. The fear of the world creeps in. The confusion of the world creeps in. We need to keep our eyes totally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes focused on the Word of God. Isaiah 41 and 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Think of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Friends, we have got the Word of God. You know, whenever we keep our eyes fixed on Him, He gives us the peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. But friends, there's a second group that I've mentioned, the group that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, they have had many opportunities to hear the gospel. Yes, but unfortunately, the cross has become an offense to them. It challenges people. The cross challenges people to their sin, to their need of change, to their need to repent. There are many different ways of reaching out to the lost in these days. We have the preaching of the Word of God. We have the reading of Scripture, the Word of God itself. We have the reading of gospel tracts. We have the witness of people that we maybe work with day by day. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take up the Word of God, convict others of their sin, show them their need of salvation. Yes, some will fight, some will rebel, some will refuse. Some people are holding on to their sin. But thankfully, there are those who are turning, those who are yielding to the Holy Spirit, those who are repenting. I had an email this past week from Pastor Angles in Venezuela. And this is what he said to me. He says, "You know," he says, "our church has been closed for quite some time, but miraculously, our church is growing at the same time." You know, because the Word of God has been going out. Friends, today, you know, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then you need to yield to Him. You need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today. But you know, there is a third group. There is a third group. And the third group is this: those who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Those who have never read the Word of God. Those who have never understood the way of salvation or the gospel message. This morning, I just for a second want to take you around the world and just think about groups of people. Think of those who are in the Roman Catholic Church. Think of those who are in the Orthodox churches. We have the Greek Orthodox Church. We have the Russian Orthodox. We have different Orthodox churches. People who have a religion of do's and a religion of don'ts. Yes, in some ways they know about Jesus, but they know nothing of the salvation from the Word of God. Think of the world of Hindus today. 1 billion Hindu people living in our world today. Yes, the opposition that they are creating for the Christian church, especially in India, and the persecution that is taking place. But so many people who know nothing of Jesus Christ. Think of communism. Think of China today. What is happening in China today? The Chinese government at this moment in time are actually trying to rewrite the Bible. Their idea is this: they're filling the Bible with different Buddhist thoughts and sayings and so on. They're feeding into the Bible communistic teaching and so on. And they're hoping to produce this Bible and try to introduce it into the churches to water down the effect of the Word of God. Think of Islam today. The rise, the power of Islam over these last number of years. And again, the millions upon millions of people who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Think of the cities of our world today. You know, you can go to many different cities and the center of that city, beautiful buildings, absolutely looks absolutely amazing for the tourists and so on. But you know, head back into the back streets of some of these big cities, cities of 10, 20 million people. Go into the back streets and what do you find? You find the poverty. You find the hopelessness. You find the drug addicts. You find all of that in those big cities. And you find people that need Jesus Christ to be their Savior. How are these people going to hear? How are they going to hear? They're going to need a preacher. They're going to need someone to point them to the Savior. Friends, this morning, have we got a burden? Have we got a vision? Have we got a passion for reaching the lost with the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself, He had a passion. He had a burden for His own people. Think of what He said in Matthew 23 and 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we got that same compassion within our own lives? If we are believers today, have we got a compassion, a care, a burden for the lost? Friends, we need to have a burden. We need to have a vision. We need to be doing all that we can to reach out and to share the gospel message with those that we come in contact with day by day, and a burden to pray and a burden to reach out to the lost in other parts of our world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we thank you that we can look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you, Father, for what you mean to us today. But Lord, we want to pray for those that know not you as Lord and Savior today. Father, we pray, Father, for every witness, every faithful witness across our world today, those who are taking up the word of God, those who are preaching, those who are sharing gospel literature. Father, take them up. Use them, Father. And Father, as we think of the literature going out, we ask, Father, that by the power of your own Holy Spirit, you will take it and you will use it for the salvation of precious souls. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity of sharing the word of God this morning. Bless it, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.